AQAP, Al Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which operated from Yemen, was really for the last decade the arm of Al Qaeda that was specialized in overseas operations. So, really, the part of Al Qaeda that was the most direct threat to the US homeland and the most direct threat to Europeans. They have been really badly, luckily, affected by the conflict in Yemen and seem to have lost its operational leader. Not clear how he died or precisely when he died, but last weekend, the Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula pulled out a statement with a picture of him very clearly being dead and announced Batrafi Alaki as his successor.
What do you think this means for the West, the U.S., and does there appear to be any evidence the West or the U.S. might have been involved in this death?
Hard to tell. I mean, Yemen has been in a horrible war situation. There is starvation. There is lack of medical services. So, yes, this could have been a U.S. drone strike. However, usually the U.S. has announced this, especially when it came to AQAP, because of its importance for the threat it's posed against the U.S. homeland. So it could be that this time he just died of unfortunate circumstances. He wasn't old enough to have died of old age, but certainly Yemen these days is not a place that if you get any kind of serious illness, that you have any chance of survival.
All right, then. So what does this mean for the rest of the world in terms of Al-Qaeda losing this key leader? Because there was a time, as you said, it was a very... it was at the top of the food chain when it came to attacks from Al-Qaeda. They were bomb makers and had lots of expertise. So what does this mean?
They did have a lot of expertise, but the U.S. government was able over the last several years to really take out a lot of these key individuals that were these innovators, right? So AQAP was a real innovator. You had the first online magazine ever of any of the Islamist terrorist groups, Inspire, right? First issue, how to make a bomb in your mother's kitchen, right? Really influential. Copied by the Islamic State. It was the first Islamic terrorist group outside regional groups like Hamas and Hezbollah that took over control of the city, Mukalla, and actually ran a city long before the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, ISIL, was doing this in Iraq and Syria. It was the first one to really innovate in bomb design, i.e. putting explosive materials in printer cartridges, getting a laptop to work with half the size of a battery so that you can fill explosive material in the other size, half size of the battery. So it was really innovative. It has the first underwear bomb where really it hurt a Saudi interior minister at a meeting. So it was really innovative. But the war in Yemen, the civil war in Yemen, really from 2015 onwards, meant that AQAP was now between all, as we always say in Germany, sitting between all the chairs. You had the Yemeni government still going after them, the Americans going after them. You had the Houthis fighting the government. You had the Transition Council in the south, which is a rebel group in Yemen, also partially aligning with them, partially being their enemies. So they really were hemmed in, and leadership attrition over time worked. However, this is only partially good news. Yes. The Al-Qaeda affiliate that was most hell-bent on external attacks is very weak and lost another leader over the weekend, at least announced the loss of another leader over the weekend. While we have Al-Qaeda running large parts of Burkina Faso and parts of Mali right now, we have Al-Qaeda Shabab in Somalia on the verge at the end of this year to potentially take over another country, Somalia. We have the Al-Qaeda top leadership absolutely comfortably protected by the Taliban in Afghanistan. No one can reach those. So Al-Qaeda as a going concern is not over. This story of Al-Qaeda at the moment looks positive, but any one of these affiliates who has far more resources, far more men, far more weapons, far more money than AQAP ever had could at any moment turn around and say, why don't we put part of these resources to good use in the sense of our ideology? And ideology says America first, European 1A, and everyone else second and third. So, the story is not over.
All right. What about the main approach to dealing with terror groups. One of the things that has sort of emerged since the conflict in Gaza emerged is Iran has basically embraced a bunch of terror groups and infused them with money and their confidence. So what kind of strategy or approach is necessary to prevent that idea from spreading? You know, some nation state decides, okay, we're going to link up with the terror group. And I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but there are crazy things happening in the world right now.
Well, I mean, one of the key leaders, there's a bit of a discussion if he's the leader of Al-Qaeda, but he's certainly very, very high up. Saif al-Adl happens to be in Iran at the moment, right? So, which may be part of the explanation why there is not more from Al-Qaeda going towards Europe or the US at this particular point, but he is in Iran. He is clearly not a prisoner in Iran. So even on the Al-Qaeda front, our Iranian, you know, counterparts have their fingers in the pie. So it's not just the regional groups. It's also a top leader of a global terror network who at any point would also happily turn around to kill Iranians and Shiites if they have the chance and given the opportunity, is hosted by the Iranian regime in Tehran right now. So it is a problem. That coupled with the fact that, you know, this announcement, again, as important as it is that the world knows, but it came, of course, via social media, right? And so, again, a US and UN and European Union listed terror group makes an announcement happily on social media. How is this possible? Why are they not still completely gone from the internet? My organization did a lot of work with the big platforms to get Anwar al-Awlaki, an American Yemeni, who went back to Yemen and became really the chief propagandist of AQAP in English and really inspired a lot of English-speaking individuals to join Al-Qaeda, in part even then in the end, join the Islamic State through his YouTube videos in which he preached his version, his perverted version of Islam in English. But he's just one. And this group and other groups still have a bunch of social media accounts, a bunch of websites where there are server companies that are happily taking the money from listed terror organizations. This is really a problem. And we will always have an uphill battle if these individuals and groups have absolutely no issue communicating to their and anyone else, to their supporters and anyone else they want to communicate to for free, right? So this is still the one big problem I see that is really a chink in our armor to defend ourselves.
Hans Jacob Schinder is the senior director at the Counter-Extremism Project. JJ Green, WTOP News.